0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Steven Gerrard questions his players' mentality, believes they showed an ego before Saturday's game. John Hartson insists Celtic can still be caught in the title race. And Stevie Clark calls on sensible fans to help rid our game of troublemakers. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon Dalziel and Roger Hanna.
And every midweek seems to be a big midweek at the minute. Up in the Highlands, we've got a Scottish Cup replay tonight, Inverness against Ross County. Tomorrow, the same at Ibrox, Rangers against Kilmarnock. It's a huge game for Rangers. Some would say their season depends on it. And then on Thursday, Celtic, is it mission improbable in Valencia to try and get, you know, some pride back in the European competition to try and get to the last 16? But what you'll find is no egos in the Super Scoreboard studio on a Tuesday, Gordon. At least not from you and I.
Oh, very nice of you, Roger. No, I'm looking forward to this week, Gordon. I'm promoting games. I was at Ibrox on Saturday, and I've got to say, Rangers were really not impressive at all. They were very, very poor, and they were lucky to get a point. St Johnston, I thought, deserved the 3 points on the day. So the Rangers manager's come out and had a little dig, and it'll be interesting to see the reaction he gets tomorrow night in the cup game against a very good Kilmarnock side.
And it's yet another week, Roger Hanna, where we seem to be walking along that tightrope between focusing on the great stuff that were involved on the pitch and various other distractions, if you like, off of it.
Name names. What distractions are we discussing this week?
You take your pick, because I don't know. Is it coin throwing? Is it referees? Is it disciplinary systems? Is it seat breaking? Take your pick.
Well, in no particular order, coin throwing, there's absolutely no place for it in football. There's no place for it in society. It is becoming more prevalent. We hoped when Neil Lennon was struck in the Edinburgh Derby at Tynecastle earlier in the season, it was a one-off. Unfortunately, with Chris Boyd struck at the weekend, it doesn't look as if it is a one-off. Seat smashed at Rugby Park, again, no place for it. Unfortunately, it does seem to be becoming more prevalent in Scottish football again. As for referees, well, I spoke in the show last Tuesday night about the annoyance, the frustration about the inconsistencies of referees and the way they apply the laws, the inconsistency of the compliance officer and the SFA judicial panel. Now, they've no reason to listen to me, but it's becoming increasingly apparent that far more important people like me, Leanne Dempster at Hibs last Friday, Stuart Robertson at Rangers yesterday, Steve Clark at Kilmarnock before, Derek McInnes at Aberdeen, Craig Levine at Hearts, they're all beginning to agree that this system, this disciplinary system, is becoming unworkable.
All right, let's at least start by focusing on the field then. Steven Gerrard says he won't be afraid to show players the door if they get too comfortable and think they're guaranteed a start. The Rangers boss also says he does agree with Stuart Robertson's calls for reform in the disciplinary process. Steven Gerrard's been questioning his players' mentality, talks about them showing an ego in the game at the weekend. It's a huge match tomorrow, so let us know what you think on the phones right now. 01419511025. Let's hear from you.
I've told the players in a very honest and truthful way that that's not acceptable. If you're a Rangers player, you have to accept the challenge. You have to expect teams to come here and not make it easy for you. And I don't want to lie to the players or mislead them or tell them stuff that I don't believe in. And the reaction can't be for me. It's got to be for the fans and the club. You know, St Johnstone had 100, 150 supporters at that game. We had 49, 50,000. They're the ones who deserve the standards and the level of performance. It's my job to just tell the players and be truthful and honest with them. That's the way I do it. At the weekend, I didn't see a proper Rangers team with the right mentality, and I didn't see individuals really going above and beyond for the right result. That was the concern for me. I speak to them individuals, I tell them, and if I see anyone getting comfortable or think they can just walk into the team and stay in the team, I'll remove them.
The managing director's comments yesterday about matches being re-refereed. Do you share that collective view that something has to happen quickly?
I don't think we're putting a time scale on it or saying something has to happen fast. I'm totally behind the managing director and the statement, but it's something that's come above me. You know, this has obviously been going on for a longer time before I've come in. The board are handling it. I trust them on it, and we move forward like that. My focus now is just Kilmarnock tomorrow.
Huge game tomorrow, Rangers against Kilmarnock in that Scottish Cup replay. Strong words again from Steven Gerrard as to where it went wrong on Saturday. So let us know what you think. 0141 951 1025 or on Twitter, we're at Clyde SSB.
Yeah, there's a saying of a manager throwing his players under the bus, Gordon. So I think he's got to be careful, because he needs to get back to these guys. He needs to get a reaction. He's got to take some of the blame at the weekend as well, whether it was tactically or the way Rangers went about their business. Even at half time, I was sitting thinking, right, he'll probably get in that dressing room and have a few goes at one or two players. And I was looking at the tunnel and they actually were just walking out the tunnel. I was expecting the Rangers players to be sprinting out that tunnel after the, what the Rangers manager must have gave them at half time. And it went back to the same flatness. There was nothing. The atmosphere round about Ibrox wasn't that particularly good because the fans were not happy with the way the team was were playing. In fact, I sit back and I look at the chances, and it's every time you go to Ibrox, they create chances because they've got players in wide areas, Candeas, Kent, great deliveries. Nothing happened at all. And as I said earlier, and I said on Saturday, if I was St Johnston, I'd have felt a little bit disappointed because I thought they deserved to get away with the 3 points.
Yeah, I think Blair Olsen went closer than any Rangers player to breaking, you know, breaking the deadlock at Ibrox on Saturday. I'm not so sure ego is the problem at Rangers. I think the problem at Rangers is the current batch of players can't meet the standards that Steven Gerrard expects. Steven Gerrard was a world-class footballer, and I think he's now, in his first season in management, he's now growing increasingly frustrated that the players that he's putting out in the pitch are only so good. You know, they can only reach so high a level. And I think he's beginning to realise that again this summer, he'll need to bring in players that are better than the current crop. Yes, they're second in the league, which is an improvement where they've been. They've played 26 league games. They've only won 15 of them. That's 15 of 26. So 11 of those games, they haven't won in the Premier League. That's not good enough for what Steven Gerrard wants, what Steven Gerrard demands. And I think it's beginning to dawn on him that the current batch of players simply aren't good enough he wants to take Rangers.
It's his job, Roger. He's signed them. He's got to take responsibility for that. He's brought these players in.
Yep.
He's got to then say, right, okay, these players were never as good as what he was as a player. He's got to coach them. He's got to get them into a team, into a formation, into a shape that suits every player in that pitch. That's what his job is. And sometimes as a young manager coming in your first job, now, we'll know tomorrow night the reaction he's going to get off his players, because he's certainly not missed them. And a lot of people nowadays say, yeah, players got off too lightly. But you know the world with players nowadays. You've got to be very careful because you've still got to go back and ask them to perform for you.
01419511025. Charlie's a Rangers fan from Stirling. First up, hi Charlie.
Hi, how you doing, panel?
Yeah, good, thanks Charlie. What's on your mind?
It was probably just on the back of the comment there about Gerrard and I'm having a dig. He just seems to be having a dig all the time now. Do you think that his managerial style is a bit naive now? Because you're right, he has to get the best out of the players, and he seems to be failing to do that. It's one thing going out and saying, let's buy the right players and spend money, but there's other managers proving that they can get the best out of lesser players. And I think this every week, I'm getting a bit sick here, that it's the players, he needs more money. I'd like to see more of the management and his motivational style, getting the players to be their best. Instead now, he's demotivating them. How can he pick them up after slating them?
Well, that's what I touched on, Charlie. Sometimes you've got to be very careful of how you handle the situation. As we all know, players do get it so lightly nowadays, and they go in the huff if managers go and have a real go. I said earlier, just at the start of the show, the one thing that disappointed me on Saturday was I was looking at some of their body language at halftime walking out the tunnel, and it was incredible because there was 49,000 plus there. It was a great opportunity for the 3 points, but they were so flat, they couldn't pass the ball, they looked like a team disorganised. I was watching the dugout to see if the manager was going to give that spark with his body language. Nothing seemed to happen. Now, only time will tell tomorrow night if these players understand what the manager's doing and get a reaction to go and beat Kilmarnock. Because if they don't beat Kilmarnock tomorrow night, get put out of the cup, I'm with Roger. Their season's finished. They're playing for second place.
Yeah, the one issue with that, Daz, as you're saying, you know, they came out at half time and they didn't raise their game and it's going to be tough tomorrow night. I agree with all of that, but I wonder if some of them have the ability to raise their game, or whether they're actually playing as well as they can play. And there might be a day in the future where Steven Gerrard admits that, you know, in my first summer at management, I bought players to the club that I thought would be good enough. And then when I worked with them week in, week out, month in, month out, I suddenly realised they actually weren't as good as I thought they were going to be. And they couldn't bridge that gap to Celtic as I thought they might. And he's going to have to do something in the summer. A lot of them are loan players. A lot of them will go away back to their parent clubs, and he will have scope to bring in players. But I think, you know, despite the fact there was an enormous clear out at Rangers last summer, I think there'll be a good number of changes again this summer.
Yeah, there are one or two players obviously letting them down. I don't think the introduction, and we were all sitting here in January saying terrific signings. Davis, for instance, I've still to see him, you know, dictate a game from the middle of the park, which he's certainly got the ability, but he looks off the pace. Defoe, and the manager said, look, we've got an English international here, we've got to put the service into the box. Apart from his few goals he scored, he's not contributed anything as well. And the one guy that's let him down badly is his best player, Morelos.
Yeah. Charlie isn't sure that criticising the players over and over again is the way to go, but Gav in Drumchapel has a slightly different take. Hi, Gav.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Good, thanks.
I definitely think it's constructive criticism. They need it because they seem to think that, you know, drawing against teams, losing against teams, and if Gerrard's getting on their back for it, quite right, because they're getting paid enough. So as if they're doing it for nothing. But at the same time, I think that it's needed. If nobody's there to tell them where they're going wrong, then how are they meant to benefit from it?
I mean, Roger, when you hear comments at the weekend, and they were along a similar lines to what Steven Gerrard repeated today about the team sort of lacking leadership. I think that's something that was said at the weekend. What do you do about that in the short term? I mean, is that something you can just tell people to have? You know, you must have more, you must show more leadership.
No.
It strikes me as quite a difficult thing to fight.
The selection at the weekend, no Alan McGregor because of suspension, no Morelos because of suspension, Arfield and Jack were injured. And it maybe shows, you know, that those four guys are leaders in the team. And when those four guys aren't there, then the team struggles without them. That's just right. I don't think either Defoe or Davis have made the impact that Rangers supporters were hoping they would. And it's still early days for them, but I think people thought the two of them would come in and would really hit the ground running. Still major doubts about the defence. Joe Wardle, I heard callers again after the game at the weekend calling for Cattage to come in instead of Wardle, calling for Halliday to come in instead of Barisic. So Steven Gerrard's first 11, you still wouldn't know exactly what it is. And there's also, you know, at the weekend there's no Morelos, so Defoe plays. Defoe doesn't strike me as a guy who looks comfortable leading the line on his own, trying to take the fight to Joe Shaughnessy and Jason Kerr on his own at the weekend. That's something Morelos can do. He's bigger, he's stronger, he enjoys that physical side of the game. I think if Morelos isn't there, the whole team needs to change, and he needs to go with two so that Lafferty can take a bit of the physical demand of leading the line away from Defoe and allow Defoe to go and do other work.
Gav, Morelos is available tomorrow before he serves another suspension in the league. Does he change your outlook completely going into a game? Do you feel much more confident when he's available compared to what you do when he's not?
Well, he's certainly going to involve goals. That's a thing that most of the team hasn't seen today when he's not there. Everybody's, I think all the Rangers fans are a bit more confident than me, Morelos is on. It's just his kind of temperament that lets him down.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, in terms of you certainly know what you're going to get in a footballing sense. Mm. What Roger's just mentioned there, and you as well, suggesting that maybe Defoe isn't the one to play up there in his own, isn't the one to take the fight to the opposition defence. These are all things Morelos is almost guaranteed to do tomorrow.
Yeah, that's not Defoe's game. Defoe's a box player. He comes alive when the balls come in the box and he gets on to the end of things. He's made a terrific career out of that. But he doesn't look as sharp as, obviously, he should be, but he's not had a lot of game time. Morelos brings something completely different to Rangers. He's their best striker by far, so he's got to play. It's whether the Rangers manager now looks at it and says, right, do I stick with going with two up top with Defoe and Morelos and hope a partnership can be worked, or do you sacrifice Defoe, who's come up here obviously to play games? So that might leave you with a problem as well, Gordon.
Gav, just how big is tomorrow? Sum it up for us.
Oh, it's well, tomorrow we need to win. If we don't win, we're league's done. That's the simple fact. If they don't beat Kilmarnock, then they're just as good as throwing it away.
Yeah, I agree. I said that. I don't think there's any chance of, you know, going and winning the league, Gordon. And we've said it from day one that, you know, I think a lot of you picked Celtic to go on and win it. It was always got to be a different year for Rangers, bringing in 15 new players, try to get on the tails of Celtic, make it a bit of competition. I said that their only hope for silverware was probably the League Cup or the Scottish Cup. Now, the League Cup's gone. It's the Scottish Cup. And they've got two big games, because Kilmarnock will go there fully confident tomorrow night, because they're a decent enough side, Kilmarnock, well organised. And obviously, if they get through that, they've then got to go at another difficult fixture at Pittodrie. So it's a big night for Steven Gerrard, because I think if Rangers had to lose us tomorrow night, you'd been inundated with phone calls.
And you know what you're going to get from Kilmarnock? Malumbo will come back in alongside Power and Dicker. They'll have Jones going up one side, they'll have Burke going up the other, they'll have Brophy trying to get in behind. You know what kind of performance you'll get from Kilmarnock. Well organised at the back, as Dan said. I don't think any of us know what kind of performance you're going to get from Rangers. Go back to that Old Firm game at the end of December, and for all it was only 1-0, they blew Celtic away that day. That shows the kind of performance they are capable of if it all goes to plan. I haven't seen anything like that performance in any game since then. And that must be the biggest worry for Steven Gerrard, that he doesn't know when he sends that team out what type of performance he's going to get.
I mean, Gav, I think the likes of Jack and Arfield are going to be, you know, late shouts to see if they make it. How much of Rangers' chances hinge on their inclusion?
Same again. As long as you get that. I would agree as well with that. That performance against Celtic was something else. And it's a wonder how they can't pull one of them out of the bag every time that they're playing. But I'm hoping they've got a fully fit, strong squad tomorrow, because they're going to need it.
I think Arfield's a big miss, Gordon. I really do. Every time he's not there, they just don't seem to have anything different in the middle of the park, a threat from the middle of the park. You look at McCrory, Davis in there. Kamara, I thought, played quite well at the weekend. But they're all similar players. Arfield gives him a little bit of difference. He can go beyond the strikers, he can get goals. I think Arfield's a big player. He's got to be back for him.
We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Evan says, I'm a Kilmarnock fan. I think Rangers played poorly on Saturday and Killy played very well, so I think it's make or break for both teams. I think Killy will be confident, but I think it will be a great game overall. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you. We're about to hear from one former Celtic striker who doesn't think the title is quite over yet.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Get the result you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna are here. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB, and we're also on the phones, 0141 951 1025. So let's hear from you. We're about to hear from former Celtic striker John Hartson on the title race and Celtic's chances in Europe. So give us your thoughts on the phones. On Twitter, Scott McFarlane, though, is talking about Rangers previously. He says, unfortunately, I have to agree with Gordon. There we go. He doesn't like it, but he agrees with you nevertheless. He says, even when Rangers do go one up, they can't seem to smell blood and go for the jugular like our city neighbours. I don't think it's coincidence. There's not many past winners in the team. Mentality and leadership are the issues. Let's squeeze in one more call before we hear from John Hartson. Craig is a Rangers fan from Wishaw. Hi, Craig.
How you doing?
Not bad, Craig. What's on your mind after that weekend then?
I think a lot of Rangers fans are going to be a bit over the top. We drew nothing each way with St Johnson, but we had a good game not long ago against Celtic, and it will take a bit of time for Gerrard to get his ideas across. I know he's signed a lot of players, but I still think we've got a good 11, but apart from that, I still think we need to sign some more players in the summer to try and compete with Celtic.
Roger, like everything, this is all going to, how you feel about this as a Rangers fan is all going to come back to your expectations.
Yeah.
If you were expecting to be pushing Celtic really hard for the title, maybe even win it, then you're bound to feel a bit deflated after the weekend. If you were one though who in the summer thought, do you know what, if we could get into the group stages, as long as we can finish second, then you won't be disappointed. But it all depends on what you were expecting.
It's not even what you were expecting in the summer. It's what you're expecting at the winter break, because the expectations of every Rangers fan
rose,
increased, because they played 14 games in Europe, which was terrific. No one would have thought they would have played so many games in Europe or done so well in continental competition. Then they were staying in touch with Celtic, Then they beat Celtic at the end of December, and suddenly the expectations, wherever they had been, were increased for every single Rangers fan. The disappointment, the frustration, the annoyance for the Rangers supporters is the way they've performed since the winter break, the inability to kick on, the dropping of points, particularly at home to St Johnstone at the weekend, and now the fact that the season could well hang on a cup replay tomorrow night against a very good Kilmarnock side.
Yeah, Gordon, I was sitting at Ibrox on Saturday, and you could actually hear the disappointment round the ground. Rangers fans do expect to be up there challenging. They do expect to go and beat St Johnstone, not being disrespectful to St Johnstone at home at Ibrox and with 49,000 plus supporters behind them. So, and the Rangers manager's been backed very well with the board. He's brought in a lot of players. You know, I don't know if everybody will agree with Craig and say, well, their starting 11's decent, but what is their starting 11? What is their best 11? Because I've watched Davis and Defoe coming up and they're struggling there. I wouldn't put them in the best 11 just now. And they were two big marquee signings in January. Everybody thought they would be absolutely terrific. You know, you've got one or two players in there that, you know, I look at their defence, for instance. I said on Saturday, I'm not a massive fan of Worrell. I just think there's a mistake in him all the time. And I don't think you can win a league with that defence. I've said that. Tavernier's terrific going forward, can't defend. Barisic, on the other side, good at going forward, not the greatest defender. You've got to sometimes have people that can do their jobs. I don't know if the manager knows his best 11 or his best shape, whether it's a two up top, whether it's 4-3-3, whether it's a diamond he's tried that's never worked for me. So I don't think the manager knows his best 11 just now.
Craig,
can I come back in?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's 4-3-3, Gordon. I don't understand why. Okay, bringing the four up, he's got a great goal scoring record, but Rangers play better, I think, when they're playing 4-4-3, and their biggest threat is Alfredo Morelos, and there's no a shadow of doubt that when he plays, Rangers are a far better side, I agree with Gordon, with Joe Worrell. I don't know why he was brought up with the team. Barisic, I like, left back. And I agree with Gordon, with Tavernier. Going forward, he's fantastic, but he cannot defend. 100%, he cannot defend.
All right, thanks to Craig in Wishaw. 0141 951 1025. Twitter is at ClydeSSB. Let's move on a bit and hear from John Hartson. He says it was a big weekend in the title race when Celtic's 8-point gap now opened up, but he insists they could still be caught. He also says the Hoops bounced back perfectly from European disappointment last week.
It's huge in terms of momentum. It's huge in terms of psychological, with what, 12 games to go, I believe, 12 or 13 games to go, to go 8 clear, you know, in a season where, you know, there's been a challenge. There's been a challenge from Rangers. There's been a challenge from Aberdeen, in particular when Rangers won the game on the 30th of December there, and Celtic have gone 7 games now, not conceded a goal, won every single game other than the game against Valencia in Europe. It's a great response from Celtic. It shows their spirit, their character in there. Always when you score late, it's a great feeling. You know that you can go till the very, very end. So in terms of momentum, it was a huge weekend going in Celtic's favour. I don't think the title is over. You know, they still have to play Rangers twice. They still have to play Aberdeen twice. There's plenty of points to play for. So it's a huge weekend. It's a massive advantage, of course, 8 points. But in terms of the title being over, I don't think you'd hear me being so naive as to say that.
So it's naive to say the title's over, according to John Hartson. Would you agree or disagree? 0141 951 1025. I think you're naive, Gordon, because you said it earlier.
Well, yeah, John's got his opinion there. I totally understand where he's coming from with the games and whatever. But I just look at Celtic squad, I watch Rangers, yeah, you can say it was a one-off at the weekend, they didn't play particularly well, the managers had a go. But Celtic going 8 points with the goal difference they've got as well, Gordon, I just cannot see where Rangers can claw that back. I really don't. There will be points dropped, of course there will, but I cannot see Rangers clawing 8 points plus that goal difference back.
I mean, the case is obvious, Roger, that you're outlining, you know, still to play Rangers twice and in other difficult games, but as Gordon says, those are big ifs.
Yeah, they are big ifs, and I'm quite sure about Rangers supporters thinking Celtic are going to need to drop a couple of points at Rugby Park there on Sunday afternoon. They got the last minute winner. And I think in the final analysis at the end of the season, the weekend just passed might be the weekend that people look back on and say that was when the title was effectively decided. Rangers dropping the points at home on the Saturday, and then Celtic belatedly taking full advantage in the Sunday, because that 8-point gap, are Celtic going to lose three games between now and the end of the season? And even if they do, do we seriously think this Rangers team, a Rangers team that, as we've said, have failed to win 11 of their 26 league games so far, do we seriously think they're going to win all of their last 12?
What about this week for Celtic? Because I don't think many people, many you decide, will be giving them a chance of overturning that deficit when they go to Valencia. What's the mentality going to be like going into that one then? How does Brendan Rodgers produce a belief that they actually can do that? Because it would be an unbelievable upset, wouldn't it?
It certainly would. I can't see it happening, Gordon. I think Valencia are far too good a side to let the lead slip. And I think they will probably get through comfortably. And it'll all be the concentration on the cup and obviously the league for Celtic now to try and get another treble in the bag. I think Thursday night it's a case of going over there, doing your very, very best. It'll be interesting to see the tactics. Brendan Rodgers seems never to change his tactics. He's a very forward-thinking coach. He wants his players to go and score goals, which leaves them a little bit open at the back, as we've witnessed before in Europe. So I just think with Valencia, after watching them last Thursday, I think they will go through, and it will give Celtic all the concentration then to go and win a league. And they've got a very difficult game against an in-form Motherwell, you've got to say, at the weekend.
Yeah, and listen, the Motherwell game isn't a given either, because, as you boys well know, six in a row for Motherwell, including that great last-minute win against Hearts at the weekend. You would expect them to give Celtic a right good game, Celtic coming back from Spain. But Celtic's record, if you look, coming back from European games, has been mightily impressive. They look as if they've got the bit between their teeth now in terms of the Premiership, in terms of eight in a row. Rangers play first, as you say, Daz, at the weekend. And quite simply, there is no room in any competition, no room now for manoeuvre for Rangers. They simply have to win every single game in every single competition if they're to retain hopes of ending Steven Gerrard's first season with something tangible.
I think what will help Celtic, Roger, at the weekend is they're playing at home. If they were coming back from the European trip and going to Fir Park, I think Motherwell would have fancied their chances. But I have not seen anybody lay a glove on Celtic at Celtic Park in domestic football.
Yeah,
they've won every game comfortably. They can just stop the gears, and I think that's where it comes to an advantage for them this weekend.
And it's incredible to think that since the turn of the year, there was that controversial decision by Brendan Rodgers to leave out Craig Gordon, who had played well in the Old Firm game, and he brought in Scott Bain. Amazing to think Scott Bain hasn't conceded a goal domestically in 2019. We're now into the second half of February. He hasn't conceded a goal. And that is really, you know, what is laying behind Celtic and this run they're on, and the fact that coming out of the disappointment of defeat to Rangers, they've now suddenly found themselves 8 points clear.
0141 951 1025, that's the number you need to get in touch and share your thoughts. If you would rather tweet, then you can do so. Send your thoughts over to @ClydeSSB. Alec is a Celtic fan on the line. Hi Alec.
Hi lads.
Hello. Hi Alec.
I've been listening to the show, obviously, for the fallout of the Celtic and Kilmarnock game. And Celtic finished against Kilmarnock with more or less all the signings that they made in January. I think that's been a massive contribution in where they've been for, obviously, the Old Firm defeat. It's gave Brendan options. It's took a bit of pressure off of Edward, and obviously we know that Lee's out for a bit of time. So I was on a show, I think it was a Monday before Celtic played Valencia last week, Gordon, and Hugh Keevans asked me if I was to, you know, take a victory, would it be Kilmarnock or Valencia? And straight away I says I'll take the Kilmarnock game. I've no problems with saying that the victory on Sunday was huge. It was huge for Celtic. If we get back to the beginning of the season, Celtic shot themselves in the foot massively. We soaked them barely in the last day. We didn't get John McGinn out of the line. There was a lot of in-house fighting going on, obviously, we're talking about with Brendan Rodgers, and look at his new, we're 8 points clear at the tap, we've already got the League Cup in the bag. To think a treble is a real possibility. You know, Celtic fans right now are witnessing history, and it's great to be part of it. That's what I can say.
What are you realistically hoping for on Thursday then, Alec? Because I'm sure, well, listen, you're right, I'm sure the fans, if the treble arrives, you'll enjoy it and all the rest of it, but you know, I'm sure you still want to try and put up a good account of yourselves in Europe. You can't just discount that altogether, surely.
No, obviously, Gordon, I'm looking forward. Obviously, I'll watch the game on Thursday. We've got Motherwell on the Sunday. Brendan will go there and he'll try his damnedest to get 2-0. Is it impossible? Probably, but we all know that, you know, things don't sometimes go. Celtic could sneak an early goal, anything. You don't know. It's can Celtic win and get through? Possibly, but will they? Men likely know. So we'll watch the game. As long as Celtic don't get any injuries, they'll get a bit of sun in their back, they'll get a wee bit of training in the sun, and then we'll see what happens. But we'll be right back at it again at Celtic Park against Motherwell on the Sunday.
Well, Celtic won't go through, Alec, and there's no disgrace to that. I think you are right prioritising the Kilmarnock game, and I say that because the win at Kilmarnock might contribute to Celtic winning a piece of silverware. I think even if Celtic get past Valencia, Celtic aren't good enough to win the Europa League. There'll be far better teams in the competition than Celtic. But the teams in Europe this season, I think they've done as well as can be expected. You know, Celtic in a Champions League group, if Celtic can finish third in a Champions League group and get the parachute into Europa League and get through a couple of rounds or one, you know, do something in the Europa League beyond Christmas, that's about as far as this Celtic team can go. Likewise, Rangers probably over exceeded expectations in Europe with those 14 games. Hibs, I think, had 3 rounds. Aberdeen pushed an English Premier League team very hard. So the teams in Europe did fine. That's about as good as our teams in Europe are going to do at the minute. So you're quite right, Celtic's priority has to be domestic football. It has to be the bread and butter. And if that ends up with a treble, it's a fantastic achievement for any team.
I mean, surely, Gordon, though, just for, I don't know whether you can call it momentum, confidence, morale, I don't know any of those things, Celtic need to still go and put up a good account of themselves, do they not, on Thursday? You can't just roll over and...
No, I don't, and I don't think they will roll over, but I just don't see... I think it's too big a task, Gordon. Valencia looked very comfortable at Celtic Park. I think Benkovic was a massive loss. Tierney, left-back, was a massive loss for him as well. But I just feel that Celtic, if they go over there and put up a good account of themselves, I don't think they'll get through. I think they'll go out, come back with no injuries, and concentrate in domestic football. And I think that's what'll happen.
Clyde One. The Cash Register. With wholesale domestic bathrooms, service, style, and value that'll get you talking.
Yes, after almost a week of rollovers, we finally had a winner.
Are you actually pranking me?
No, this is genuinely real.
I think I know what's real or not.
I don't know if I can understand what you're saying, but I take it you're excited.
I am.
How could you not be delighted for Jenna? More than 17 grand going into her bank account. Gordon Deal, how many of those golf jumpers that you always wear in the studio would you be able to buy with that?
Oh, we'd have
17,000.
Honestly, incredible stuff. Well, Cash Register does return across the Hits Network Scotland tomorrow. George will reveal a new cash amount at 8 a.m. We'll start a brand new game on Bowie at breakfast. So make a note of the amount. Be ready to answer your phone within 5 rings if Grant calls you after 3 p.m. If you want to enter, it's so simple. Text yes to 61025. That's yes to 61025. You might as well go and do it just now. It's £2 to play plus your standard message rate. Full terms and online entry on the website. You could be the next winner on Clyde One's Cash Register with wholesale domestic bathrooms, Hillington.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL here to take your calls and receive your tweets at Clyde SSB. If you would rather get in touch on Twitter, 01419511025 on the phones. On the previous call, watching over Paradise says, I'm a Celtic fan and I have discounted Europe. We won't overcome a 2-goal deficit to Valencia. The league is far more important the eighth title will be the sweetest one. I mean, what does that mean then? Do you go as far to say as Celtic rest players, or is that a complete nonsense?
Well, you don't want to go over there and get an absolute doing. I think he'll go over there with a game plan, whether he looks at the bigger picture. Because the first goal on Thursday night's got to be important. If Celtic get it, at least it gives them a lift to try and go for it. If Valencia get it, then you can just forget it. The tie's over. I wonder how Brendan Rodgers will, you know, attack this. Will he go over there and put all the big ones out? He's starting 11, his strongest starting 11. Or will he put one or two fringe players in with one eye on Sunday? Because I think everybody does agree, if you're a Celtic supporter, domestic one in the league is more important just now.
I don't think he needs the rest players, because there's just been a winter break. We're only less than a month back out of a winter break. A lot of the guys are fresh. Burke, Weah,
got a big squad as it is.
Bayo has come in, Toljan's just come in. They've not had a lot of football, any of them. No point in resting Brown because he's suspended for the league game at the weekend. The likes of McGregor and Christie don't look in need of a rest. Edward looks in need of minutes on the park, I would say. Simunovic had his rest on the plastic pitch at Kilmarnock at the weekend. Whoever plays left back won't have had a lot of football either, so there's no point in, you know, resting Johnny Hayes. So I think he'll go as strong as he possibly can. I just can't see them overturning it. But Valencia looked as if they had another gear to go into last Thursday.
We're about to hear from Steve Clark, who gives us some interesting thoughts on how we go about solving the problem of crowd trouble. But let's squeeze in Ian in the city centre first. Hi, Ian.
How you doing, panel?
Good, thank you, Ian. What's on your mind?
Hi. I heard Roger saying a wee while ago there that he thinks more or less along the lines that Steven Gerrard will maybe be looking at some of his players, and there's no same players that are as good as him and stuff. I think he already knows there's no way Rangers can play same players that are anywhere near as good as him, and I don't think he's looking for too much out of them. I think he's just looking for what they should be given back to the fans, and I think that's what he's saying. He's not looking for miracles at them. He's looking for them to put in an effort. I mean, the show against St Johnstone was an absolute shocker. But for every shocker, I mean, we've had really good games as well, and they have put in great performances over the period, since the league started back. But yeah, we've shot ourselves in the foot too many times, and it has been frustrating. But I think Steven Gerrard's recruited really, really well. Not every one of them's a perfect fit, but I think he's did really, really well. And I think he's only maybe three players away from a really, really good first team and a few subs.
What areas would those three players be in then, Ian? Where is the shortage?
I would think he would need to sign another striker, and I think he would need another attacking midfielder, and possibly maybe a left back, an actual left back, and I think they'd be okay. Actually, I think they'd be okay. I think we've got too many midfielders that are sort of the same ilk. I do agree along those lines, but considering they signed like 15, 16 players, I'd say about 90% of them have been fine, you know, and I think he knows that, but they've let themselves down, and it's just one of those things, you know what I mean?
Well, you said, Darian, he's not looking for miracles. I agree with you, but he is looking for more, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. He saw in the game against Celtic the levels that they're capable of reaching. And what will be frustrating him is the fact that since that Celtic game, not only have they not reached those levels again, the level of performance seems to be getting worse with each passing week. That's what will frustrate him. Does he need three players? I think he might need half a dozen players. I think he needs at least one centre-half. I agree with you. He might need a left-back again in the summer.
How did that happen so quickly? I mean, Barisic was signed for relatively, you know, decent money. People seemed to be liking him initially. Where did that go wrong so quickly?
Well, Lee Wallace will be leaving, and Andy Hallardy's not
right,
a left back.
So you didn't necessarily mean as a first choice, right?
Because Barisic, with the best will in the world, and the manager said it himself, doesn't appear the most sturdy of defenders. Hasn't it the best record of injury since he came to the club? They need someone in there to compete. Ian mentioned a new attacking midfielder and a new striker. They're supposed to be called Stephen Davis and Jermaine Defoe. and they just haven't performed so far.
Okay, thank you to Ian in the city centre. I do want to squeeze a bit more in before we go to beat the pundit. Let's hear from Stevie Clark. He says the sensible majority need to play their part in helping authorities when it comes to crowd trouble. The Kilmarnock boss says he's desperate for the scenes in Sunday's defeat to Celtic to be dealt with strongly.
The worrying fact on Sunday was that people came onto the pitch, but there is a, I believe it's a criminal offence to go on the pitch, so there's plenty of cameras, plenty of faces will be on those cameras. The authorities have to deal with it. You don't want anybody throwing anything. People go to football to watch the game. They should go watch the game. Everyone keeps talking about the mindless minority, and it is. But I think the more sensible majority, they also have a part to play. They have to point out the mindless minority, and then the authorities can deal with it better. We put up a terrific show against the, dare I say it, the champions-elect in Scotland. I'm sure there's a few clubs have got, I think I've got something to say about that. And we're sitting here talking about issues that we shouldn't be talking about. So it'll be good if the authorities can act, can deal with it strongly, and then we can all move on and talk about football, which is what we all want to do.
Sounds a bit like self-policing is the suggestion from Stevie Clark. Scott and Burmullock, can that work?
You need to be strong enough, I'll tell you that. I was at a game on Sunday, and scenes just, it's not right. Guys came on to the pitch, blah blah blah. Now, I wasn't really on about, I'm not really on about that. I'm on about the pricing difference between the clubs that I follow and the other clubs in the SPL, and the reasons why we get Charles Dexter, and that sort of lead to what you're talking about now. Over the years, I went to games, and I've been charged £27 or £28, and Hamilton, St Johnson, Hibs and the rest of the teams go and they get charged £22 or £23. So I pay £5 extra for the privilege of being a Celtic fan. Other clubs go to these grounds and they get charged less. We've always been told that the reason that we get a levy on is because it's to help to pay for the stewarding of the game. So on Sunday, Kilmarnock would have raked in an extra £40,000 or something for the game, the extra £5. If the stewards were there in place that should have been there, none of the fans would have been on the pitch. That's my problem with it all. We're getting charged a levy every single away game we go to of £5 or more in some cases, and yet there was people on the pitch. Now, some of the guys that were on the pitch on Sunday, in my opinion, would have been trying to escape from the crowd rushing down towards the players. But where was the stewards? Because, see, if you look at the pictures, there's not a steward in sight, nor a policeman. So where's all this extra resource that they're saying that they've got to spend to come in and do it?
Roger Hannah.
I think there's two separate issues there, Scott. Pricing, I think football in this country is overpriced, and I've said that for a long period of time, but it's supply and demand. If Kilmarnock think they will sell out the two ends of Rugby Park to Celtic fans at 27 or 28 quid, whatever it is, then they're entitled to charge £27 or £28, and the only way that will stop is if people stop buying the tickets at that price. The people coming onto the pitch thing doesn't particularly bother me too much. As long as there are no injuries with it. There didn't look to be any injuries at the weekend. There was a one similar at Livingston when Rangers scored a goal 2 or 3 weeks ago. It all seemed reasonably good natured. It's not as if there were people over taunting Kilmarnock fans. The one at Livy, there was no Rangers fans over taunting Livingston fans. There was no threat of any violence or anything. It was high spirits. People don't like to see it, but I'm willing to write it off as high spirits. What troubles me about the weekend is the violence, the smashing of seats, the throwing of coins. That coin that was thrown at Chris Boyd, what happened if it had, missed and hit a kid in the front row, another Celtic fan? It's things like that that trouble me. The wanton violence, the wanton, smashing of property, rather than the high spirits that follow a goal.
Gordon, Stevie Clark's suggestion there, is that the people who do behave, they're the ones that need to speak out against the ones that don't. And as Roger said earlier, unfortunately, it's not the first time this season. There's been one thrown at Chris Boyd, there's been one thrown at Neil Lennon, there was one thrown at the from the Rangers end at the Livingston game against the assistant referee. How is that a reasonable expectation to expect fans to self-police? How tough is that?
I think it's very tough, Gordon. I'm sure there's a lot of people don't want involved in it. They'll totally agree that it's wrong. but they don't want to be the person that stands up and points out, because it can lead to any other argument as well. All of a sudden you've got yourself in trouble because you're just trying to do the honest thing. So I think self-policing is very, very difficult.
Okay, we're going to have to leave that one there because we're running late already.
Beat the Pundit
with Goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, we took the big decision to handicap Roger Hannah at Beat the Pundit. He now starts on -1. He's still not lost, but it came quite close last week, I think. Was it a tiebreaker?
Disgrace.
We went to the tiebreaker last week. He's still on -1. I'm waiting to decide if he needs to go to -2, but he's -1 for this week. Gordon Dale is here as well. And if you want to take them on at Beat the Pundit, 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now. And remember, just for getting through this week, a pair of tickets to an event with John Gregg and Richard Goff are yours, just for getting through. So let's do it. You only have until the news at 7 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompsons.com.
Gordon Dale and Roger Hannah are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've been hearing from the likes of Stephen Gerrard and John Hartson, looking at the results at the weekend, building up to tomorrow's big Scottish Cup game between Rangers and Kilmarnock. We're about to hear from Neil Lennon. First time we've heard from him since he left Hibs, so we'll do that after this.
The Pundit
with Goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Yes, Beat the Pundit time. Gordon Dale and Roger -1. Hannah are ready. One of them is up against William, who's a Rangers fan from Toll Cross. Do you fancy your chances tonight, William? Have you ever played before?
I've never played before.
All right, now listen, you're a winner already, just for getting through that pair of tickets to the event with John Gregg and Richard Goff right here in Glasgow on the 29th of March. They're yours, so happy days, enjoy. You go along yourself, or you give them as a present?
I'll probably take my dad along.
Ah, there we go, a nice family night out. I'm happy with that. Let's see if you can go one better though and get a sign ball as well. Heads, you're going to be up against Roger Hannah. Tails, you will be up against Gordon Dale. And it's heads. It's Roger -1 Hannah.
Ooh, good luck,
up
William.
Against William from Toll Cross. So let me give Roger some Clyde 2 so he doesn't know what you're saying. William, I'll get the clock ready. You've got 30 seconds. You're going head to head with Roger. You can pass, remember. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Okay.
Who was the last Celtic player to score against Rangers?
Pass.
What team is bottom of Scottish League 2?
Pass.
Which McGinn brother is the oldest?
Paul.
What is Dumbarton's nickname?
Pass.
Name any one of the two Scots that play for Leeds.
Alpha.
Which Rangers manager has the best win percentage this century?
Oh, what's that?
And Molde put which Scottish team out of Europe this season? Molde.
Is it Birmingham?
Okay, let me bring Roger Hannah back. Roger, are you with us?
Oh, I was enjoying Stevie Wonder on Clyde 2.
Superb. I'm sorry to take you away from that. You're going to have to listen to me for the next 30 seconds. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Your time starts now. Who was the last Celtic player to score against Rangers?
Edward.
Which team is bottom of Scottish League 2?
Albion Rovers.
Which McGinn brother is the oldest?
Stephen.
What is Dumbarton's nickname?
The Sons.
Name any one of the two Scots that play for Leeds.
Barry Douglas.
Which Rangers manager has the highest win percentage this century?
Mark Warburton.
Molde put which Scottish team out of Europe this season?
Hibs.
And Gary Harkins was top scorer for which Scottish team last season? Quickly,
Queen of the South.
Okay, Doc. William, what do you make of the competition? He usually rattles his way through those questions. You seemed a bit unsure.
Well, usually they're all right. They were howlers.
A couple of them were howlers, William. You're right.
Yeah, quite tricky tonight. Let's go through them and find out who is the last Celtic player to score against Rangers.
Tom Rogic.
It was Olivier and Cham.
Oh, so was.
See, I knew that was a wee tricky one.
Oh.
1-0 at Celtic Park.
I was thinking Edward goal.
Right, so it's 0-0 after one question.
No,
remember,
it's 0-1.
Yeah, exactly, because Roger starts from -1. Which team is bottom of Scottish League 2? It's Albion Rovers. Roger got it right, you didn't, William. So it's, that's us, 0-0. We're back on level terms. Which McGinn brother is the oldest? You had the choice of three. Unfortunately, William, you went for the wrong one. Roger got it right with Stephen, so he goes 1-0 in front. Dumbarton's nickname is the Sons. He goes 2-0 in front. He then goes 3-0 in front. Because you had the choice of Barry Douglas or
Cooper.
Liam Cooper. So 3-0 in front. Which Rangers manager has the best win percentage this century? William went for Walter Smith. I mean, you can see the thinking there. Mm-hmm. You went for Mark Warburton. You were maybe trying to be a bit cleverer, thinking, well, he was in the Championship, so he must have won most of his games.
You were going
to
say it's Ali McCoist.
It's Ali McCoist, because he was down the divisions. Mm. So there we go. Anyway, Roger is still 3 in front. You did get one on the board, William. Always makes me nervous when someone's staring down the barrel of a zero. But you got the Hibs were the Scottish team put out of Europe by Mulder. Roger also got it. He's miles in front, but he got the last one wrong, for what it's worth. It was Morton, Gary Harkins, last season.
Of course, yeah.
So there we go. A convincing win for Roger Hanna. But William, you're a winner anyway. We'll give you the tickets to that John Gregg and Richard Gough event at the Doubletree by Hilton on the 29th of March. All right, William?
Thank you.
Good man. That was William from Toe Cross. He says the questions were howling. I don't know. You go along
Gary Harkins has been at so many clubs. Let's have it two a season.
Yeah, it's tough to keep up with.
So at the weekend, playing well for Partick Thistle. Mm-hmm. All those Partick Thistle fans have been moaning for so long. Mm-hmm. Very quiet. Phone in. Five wins in the trot. Get the Motherwell fans have been moaning. Get them phoning in. Six wins in the trot. Yeah. People aren't interested in good news, Gordon, I've decided.
Ah, but we've got Gordon DL here. He's delighted with his Motherwell team at the moment. They're flying. So that's why he's come in with a big smile on his face. I thought you had your shirt on under your jumper there, but no, I don't think so tonight. So
Come in and ask me if Jumbo Muir and Pettigrew had scored the goals on Sunday.
Yeah, funnily enough, I went along on Sunday. We didn't have a show, so I was there as always. I didn't see you in your season ticket. Oh, did you go in the other stand?
So I was on the far side with a friend.
Yeah. Any reason for that?
Just to keep them company.
The friend must have paid him in.
Okay. Eyewitnesses, anyone? Did anyone see Gordon DL at the Motherwell game? Because he's a big fan, obviously. He always tells us he would never miss a game. So if you saw him at the weekend, let us know. If you've any other footballing point, 01419511025. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's hear a bit from Neil Lennon. He says he's enjoying his break from football at the moment, but insists he will be back in the hot seat at some point. The former Hibs boss says he would be interested in a move abroad or to England. He says Scotland is also an option, but he does say that he works under a dark cloud here.
Yeah, eventually. You know, I've been doing this now for the best part of 10 years, and it's nice to have a break, you know, and sort of reevaluate things. Not just about your profession, but your life in general. Just get a little bit of normality back to things, but after a while you get the itch again, because you become sort of institutionalised in that way of life, and there's a routine to it, and it takes up all your thinking, and you get a lot of enjoyment out of it and a lot of satisfaction out of it as well. But jobs are a precious commodity, you know, and when you're out of the game, the longer you're out, it's more difficult to get back in. But at the minute, you know, I don't envisage going back into football between now and the end of the season. Beggars can't be choosers sometimes. However, if there's something in Scotland or in England or abroad that really appeals to me and I think, oh, yeah, I really fancy that, then obviously, you know, I'll take the plunge. But at the minute, like I say, I'm enjoying doing a little bit of media work and enjoying spending time at home. I think a lot of it's unfair. I think if you look at my record as a manager, it's been pretty good up here. You know, won a lot and had a lot of success at both the clubs I've managed here. But then there's always this sort of like dark cloud that surrounds you, like, you know, with whether it be the sectarianism or the volatility that people think I'm that sort of personality. You know, you try and shed that baggage, but maybe you're stuck with it. And if that's the case, then it still wouldn't deter me from working in Scotland again.
Well, it'll be interesting for Neil where he goes next, because there are only so many options left for him in Scottish football, I would think. As a former Celtic manager, he's not going to get the Rangers job. As a former Hibs manager, he's not going to get the Hearts job, is he? The Aberdeen job looks as if it's Derek McInnes's for quite a long time to come. And I would think Neil would, you know, have to think twice about going to a club out with the top five, if you like. I would tend to think Neil Lennon's next job will be in England. He didn't do particularly well at Bolton, but people will appreciate the extenuating circumstances of Bolton Wanderers at the time and the financial crisis that he had to manage his way through. He's done well at Celtic, he's done well at Hibernian, he's brought silverware to both clubs. I still think his stock down south is quite high, so he's going to take the rest of the season off, of course he is. But I think come the summer, or come that sacking season in the back end of the year down in the English Championship, don't be surprised if you see him down in England's second tier.
Yeah, I think sometimes management's very much a pressure job now, and sometimes you need a step back from it. And I think Neil's enjoying himself, working with the media, doing different things, spending a bit more time with the family and stuff like that. And he'll recharge the batteries and he'll look to get back in to a job as quickly as he possibly can. He'll probably look to get back in the summer somewhere. I do agree with Roger. I don't think there's a lot of options up here for him. So I think the market in England is bigger. So I think he'd be looking maybe going back down south.
I mean, on one hand, Roger, he says he wouldn't be put off managing up here. On the other hand, he says he feels he manages under a dark cloud. In that respect, then, would it be better for his next job not to be here if that's the way he feels?
Yeah, possibly. Neil Lennon possibly needs a new start in his managerial career, and that new start might be down south. I'm not sure Neil's the type to go to, you know, Spain or Italy or Portugal or what have you. I think he has played all his playing days in the UK. All his management's been in the UK. I think, you know, along with Gary Parker, he could go down to the English Championship and make an impact with an ambitious club who are willing to back him the way that Bolton Wanderers couldn't back him, because he's only 47 years of age. As he said in the interview there, he's had almost a decade of experience. He spoke last week in our newspaper, The Scottish Sun, that he feels he's a better manager now for that decade of experience, a better manager than the guy who led Celtic to titles, to cups, to victory over Barcelona, to the latter stages of the Champions League. He thinks he's better now than he was then, and I genuinely believe he will do a good job for someone.
I've had a real snapshot into what people think you spend your time doing on a Sunday afternoon, Gordon, because I asked if anyone had seen you at the Motherwell game. I've had one tweet in from David who says, "I'm sure I saw Gordon in the sweetie aisle at Asda about 30 minutes before kickoff." But then Sideshow Bob is on to say he saw you in the sweetie aisle in Tesco. So clearly somebody's got their wires crossed, or are you two places at once?
No,
you like to split your time between supermarkets?
I do. I like a wee supermarket sweep now and again.
Right,
but,
okay.
I could have been found in any one of the two.
Listen, it would not surprise me at all if he had been in the supermarket aisle at both places at the weekend, because Alison Robbie was sending me photographs at the weekend of the amount of chocolate that you took to the game at Ibrox and stuff.
I thought you were an athlete. I keep hearing this, well, that you're
To be fair to me, he does eat well. I've seen him at games. When he's been at games with me, he's produced salad rolls and he's produced all manner of healthy food.
Alice and I work very hard at our fitness, so on a Saturday she brings a coffee from Greg's and I get the sweets. That's the rules. And
yeah. Other coffee shops are available.
Yep. And other sweets
always
are available.
Always get that in. Yeah. Okay.
And she's actually quite pleased with my selection.
Great stuff. 01419511025. I think we should talk football rather than Gordon DL's chocolate of choice. Kenny the Jambo from Airdrie has got a suggestion I did not expect to hear tonight. Kenny, share it with us.
Evening, Roger, Gordon.
Kenny, how are you?
Hello.
I'm all right, mate. I had my first wedding anniversary at Fir Park on Sunday.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. It wasn't a great result.
Did Colin Doyle ruin it for you? Did Colin Doyle ruin it for you?
As a football fan, mate, I totally enjoyed the game. When I phoned in earlier saying, I wish, see when they're talking about changing rules and all that, carry on. I really, really do wish. I was watching the corners, big impetu. He had two or three men draped round him, and I think McLean, I actually shouted at one point, "McLean, you're standing watching it and you're doing nothing." If a goalie kicks a ball and two guys grapple like that at the halfway line, it's a foul. Why do they not just go penalty? Mm. And the more the day the referees take control of it, it's going to make it a lot easier for the football, because it was a bit farcical.
It's interesting you say that, Kenny, because I know the boys were at the game. I was actually just watching it on television. And the number of times the commentators highlighted this, Curtis Main seemed to be the guy who was tasked with watching Ick Piazu at the set pieces. And he did that. He watched Ick Piazu. He didn't watch the ball. The ball was completely incidental to Curtis Main. And in more than one occasion, he wrestled Ick Piazu to the floor. Now, it's been a successful tactic because he's got away with it. Ick Piazu hasn't scored a goal and there's been no penalty or free kick given. But you're absolutely right, because it was highlighted on the television a number of times Curtis Main did that.
Nah, I didn't see that, Gordon DL, did you?
No, we were at the game, obviously, we don't see that.
Nah, of course not. Only kidding. Kenny, what were your thoughts on Neil Lennon?
I'd take him in a heartbeat at Hearts, mate, I really would. And if Levine, I don't know if he's talking about his heart and all that and having a wee time out, if he would step upstairs. I think the two of them are quite complementary to each other. And I think you said it earlier in the programme about players and rolling about and all that. See, when you watch the tackle for the guy, the Hearts player, got sent up on Sunday, the Motherwell player did a couple of rolls And then when he actually, he was hanging on to his shin, but when he realised there was the whistle going and a red card was out, he was up and running back, and I thought, come on, players, let's all be more honest about the game rather than rolling about like fairies, you know what I mean?
Two separate points there. Kenny would take Neil Lennon at Hearts, Roger. You said that was an option that would be closed to him because he's the former Hibs manager. I mean, I can't quite see it myself, but Kenny's open.
Well, I think Kenny is in a sensible minority. I think it's what Steve Clark might call the mindless majority that would put Neil Lennon off being Hearts manager. If you think of some of the graffiti, tasteless in the extreme, that has been daubed about Neil Lennon round about Tynecastle by Hearts people pertaining to be Hearts supporters. I just can't see Neil at all, you know, ever having a job as the Hearts manager. Albeit, I do think he, as I say, he'll do a good job for somebody somewhere. I don't think we can excuse Ben Garuccio on that challenge at the end. Even Craig Levein said, nowadays, you leave the ground, you lose control of yourself in the tackle. I think Liam Grimshaw was quite fortunate. He was able to get up and get on. It's a poor, poor tackle, as was Kurt Broadfoot's in the game later in the day.
0141 951 1025. Thank you to Kenny. Stephen's a Celtic fan from Renfrew. Hi, Stephen.
Hi to Gordon's, and is it Roger?
It is.
Yep. Stephen.
Yeah, I'm very happy with Celtic are doing this season. I think that the results at the weekend, I think Celtic's title. I know it's not mathematical equation yet, but is it possible? I want to put a spin out here. Is it possible if Rangers get beat tomorrow night, then that would be Steven Gerrard losing his job? It needs to be put out there because there could be no trophies. Will the Rangers fans accept that?
No, I don't think he'll lose his job, Stephen. I'll guarantee you one thing: the Rangers fans will not be happy if they get put out the cup tomorrow night. But I don't think that it'd be that drastic that he would lose his job. I think he's just in the door. He needs time. He's a young manager. He's learning the game. He's brought in his own players. So I don't think that'll be a decision that will be made. They'll be certainly disappointed, but I don't think it would cost them his job.
Yeah, I agree, Daz, because if you look, second place in the league would be an improvement on where Rangers were last season. The European performance has been a massive improvement on where they were last season. They didn't reach either cup final last season, and you know, if they lose tomorrow night, they won't reach either cup final this season. But it's incremental gains, if you like. He's made the team better. He's not made the team as good as I think he was hoping to make the team, but they've closed the gap slightly. And as we've said earlier on in the show, I think he'll now look, he's got Jordan Jones coming in the summer as it is, I think he'll now be looking towards the summer to add maybe half a dozen more to the squad and then try and close the gap further next season.
Yeah, thanks for your points. Oh, thank you.
Short and sweet, Stephen and Renfrew. I'm happy with that. 0141 951 1025. Coming up next, we've got the full-time teaser, as always, and this one is not for the faint-hearted. You're going to have to listen very, very carefully. We're only looking for 7 answers. Usually we're looking for a lot more than that. We're only looking for 7. That tells you how hard it is. We'll get the question next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
It is time for Roger Hanna and Gordon DL to tackle tonight's full-time teaser. You lot are going to enjoy this one because it's so difficult. Sometimes you breeze them on Twitter, but this one is murder. What was it? What was the word the Beat the Pundit contestant said the questions were? I can't remember. He said they were too difficult. Anyway, this tonight is right up there with one of the most difficult teasers we've ever had. Fulltime at Clyde1.com to send your question in. Tonight's question, sent in by John, he always sends in the most difficult ones, is this. 7 players, okay?
Yeah.
Listen carefully. Are not Scottish, but have more than 30 caps for their country, have played under a Scottish manager in the English Premier League since 2000, and have played in Scotland for a non-Old Firm team since 2000. Can you name them? So I'll repeat that. Write it down if you have to. We're looking for 7 players who are not Scottish but have more than 30 caps for their country, have played under a Scottish manager in the English Premier League since 2000, and have played in Scotland for a non-Old Firm team since 2000. Any that spring to mind, dare I ask?
The sooner John gets a job, and doesn't spend every waking hour coming up with these teasers, no, the happier we'll all be.
No, we won't, because we'll be struggling on a Tuesday night, because John's are always the most difficult, and you need to try and come up with the answers.
Can you set us off with one, Roger?
No.
Yeah, I mean, this is some of the answers here. One more time quickly. 7 players who are not Scottish but have more than 30 caps for their country. They've played under a Scottish manager in the English Premier League since 2000 and have played in Scotland for an Arnold Firm team since 2000. So what I'd say to you, there are no huge names here. I mean, to be fair though, some of them are big names in a way, but try to give you some clues to set you off. Don't think there are any.
This is one of these that if we can get going,
yeah,
mm-hmm, we might not be too bad.
Here's what I'll say to you, right?
Give us a wee
so
clip.
We're looking for non-Old Firm teams that they played for up here.
Right. Yeah.
If you start with relatively, if you start with smaller clubs, quite close to home, you'll be on the right track.
Like Motherwell, Hamill.
The first one that came to Eric Jemba Jemba.
Yes. Roger Hanna always nails one eventually. Eric Jemba Jemba, he played under Scotsman Sir Alex Ferguson for Man United. He played for St Mirren, and of course he has more than 30 caps for his country and is not Scottish. So there we go, easy as that.
I've absolutely no chance. I will not even get one.
I'll give you another wee clue. There's a Partick Thistle link here, and we've got Jonathan, who's a Partick Thistle fan, on the phone. Hi Jonathan.
Hi guys.
Hello, what's your point tonight, Jonathan?
Well, I went to the game on Saturday and I was very impressed with the performance again. Good result. And I also thought that when Scott McDonald came on, obviously he scored in his debut, and I thought he really gave the team a lift and helped us get through the final stages of the game. I thought he changed the mentality of the team. But my main point is not to get carried away or anything, but I suppose that's a six games unbeaten, I think, now. And I was just wondering, if we keep going like this, I noticed we were only 8 points off, I think, the top four. Is it too late, do you think, to get a top half of the table finish?
Ah, there we go, there's a question. Partick Thistle, too little, too late, well, or timing their run just right?
You were there at the weekend, Roger.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen three of these Thistle wins in this five-match winning streak. I saw them beat Queen of the South.
I'm not trying to take credit for you, are you?
I saw them beat Alloa at the weekend. Gary Caldwell has finally turned it around. Scott McDonald, you're absolutely right, Jonathan, did well when he came on, took his goal well, might have had more than one goal. He looks surprisingly sharp for a guy whose football has been restricted to five a-sides with Mark Wilson and Alec Ray. He really did look sharp. The key signing for me has been at the other end of the park, Stephen Anderson, who at championship level looks as if he could play until he's 40. He's one of those players that he doesn't look particularly quick. He doesn't look particularly big, but any time a ball comes into the box, it's as if it's magnetised to his head or his foot. He just seems to get everything away, organises the back four superbly, tells everybody where they should be, and he has been the single biggest signing for Gary Caldwell so far. I just think they've left a wee bit too late, because, you know, the likes of this weekend, they've got Ross County, the leaders, coming to Fir Hill. It's going to be a big ask to beat County and get a sixth straight win, and that's what they're going to need to go. You know, they're going to need another five or six consecutive victories if they're going to push into that top
just quickly court. Before we go, before we carry on, let me clarify something on the teaser. Those who are currently playing in Scotland do not count. Okay, I meant to add that in as a wee footnote. Okay. So Kyle Lafferty, for instance, Yusuf Malumbu, guys like that, those currently playing in Scotland don't count. So my apologies, Jim on Twitter, who threw in Kyle Lafferty, which was a great shout, but I forgot to mention that. Jonathan, so you're looking at a top half finish. I mean, would playoffs be completely out the question?
I was just to see really how far we could get. I'm not expecting anything. I think our main aim is still to avoid relegation and get out of this relegation battle, because we're in no means safe. But I was just something when I was looking at the table, I thought, well, it's quite tight.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is, Gordon DL, and that signing of Scott McDonald, as Jonathan mentions, if I'm remembering correctly, back to the night that he signed, we had a bit of mixed bag from Thistle fans. Some weren't too sure, but no, the feedback from the weekend is that he did look sharp. He's obviously experienced. He's scored a lot of goals in Scotland, in the top flight in Scotland, I should add. I just wonder if he could make a difference.
Yeah, I think he can. You know, Scott McDonald's a very, very good football player. He's got a good football knowledge. He can score goals. He's brought in a bit of experience. Roger was saying there at the back as well, and it's certainly helped. They went on this run. I quite fancy them to turn Ross County over at home, because I think they must be playing with a lot of confidence. Roger's seen more games than I have, but it was certainly needed. Whether they can get up the table, I don't know, but I think if you'd asked any Partick Thistle fan about 6 weeks ago, they'd have just been delighted to avoid relegation again. And you know, it's something for a Partick Thistle manager to go and build on. But I think Scott McDonald's a terrific signer.
You want to come back in, Jonathan?
No, that's all, thanks, I think.
Oh, great stuff, very polite. Happy ending to that one. Thank you to Jonathan, Partick Thistle fan from Bears Den. Happy with his team's recent form and wondering just how far they can go. 01419511025 if you've got anything to add. On Twitter, we are at Clyde SSB. Roger Hanna, you're looking at me a bit confused.
Oh, I'm dazed and confused
with the teaser
question. Yeah,
looking for 7 players. They're not Scottish, but they've more than 30 caps for their country. They've played under a Scottish manager in the English Premier League since 2000, and they've played in Scotland for a non-Old Firm team since 2000. Don't worry about anyone who's playing here at the moment, because they don't count.
Yeah,
you've got Eric Jemba. You've got one. You've only got 6 to get.
That's all. Just 6.
Must be a Hearts player. Come on, Roger.
There is one who played for Hearts. I don't mind giving you a bit of a helping hand, because this is very, very tough. Now, do you know the reason I can tell that it's tough? Because there are not many at all correct answers coming in on Twitter. In fact, I don't think we've had any yet.
None.
I'll give you some wrong answers like we do on a Saturday.
Right.
That might help.
Might help.
John Boy has gone for Glenn Hoddle. That is not one. John Clark has gone for Christopher Ray. That is not one. Hugh Moan says Ulysses de la Cruz. That is not one. I told you Kyle Lafferty didn't count because he's in the division at the moment. So let me have a quick look. Yeah, absolutely nothing yet. Very, very tough. Scott Kirtland's going for Aaron Hughes. That's not right either. It's very tough, this question.
I can't remember who would have been his Scottish manager down south. Ravenelli?
Nope. Nope. All right. Eric Jemba played for St Mirren. Mm-hmm. So you're on the right lines with that club and with similar sized clubs in similar parts of the country.
You said Hoddle. Was Chris Waddle one?
No. Nope.
Too late.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a call from Grant, who's a Rangers fan in Cumbernauld. Hi, Grant.
How you doing? All right, lad?
Not too bad, Grant. What's your point tonight?
Basically, just I feel basically, simply put, I think the league's done now. I think the league's done. I think we've seen in this Rangers team that we can play against anyone, but we can also shoot ourselves in the foot big time. None more so probably than since we beat since after the Celtic game. I just think with the silly points dropped and now Celtic hitting form, I think the day's done for this season anyway. That's not to say that there's not been amazing improvement. There has. I think that's typified in the performance against Celtic at the end of December, but I genuinely believe that unless there's a major change in Celtic's run of form, not to mention Rangers finding much better consistency, especially Ibrox again, where our form seems to have dwindled, I think that's it done.
Was that the final straw for you at the weekend, Grant? When you say that, I mean, did you say the same thing a week ago, or was it specifically the combination of results at the weekend that's made you come to that conclusion?
I just started to have my doubts after the Kilmarnock game once the winter shutdown was finished.
Mm-hmm.
I thought when we couldn't, maybe you could argue that the winter break came at the wrong time for us, because as I said, the performance in the Old Firm on the 29th of December was tremendous. It's something I didn't expect, obviously, even though with the improvement this season. But I mean, when you look at it, a slightly changed team in Cowdenbeath in the Cup. We didn't look at it at all. If arguably for the full 90 minutes, never mind just the second half.
Yeah, what disappointed me, Grant, on Saturday was the fact that they know Celtic aren't playing till the Sunday. They're at home against St Johnstone. And you've got to say, St Johnstone played well. They were well organised. But the Rangers didn't ask any questions whatsoever. And I was disappointed in it, just the way the game went about. It was so flat. The passing was poor. The tempo was poor. You didn't hardly create a chance in 90 minutes at Ibrox in front of 50,000 people, which is surprising for me. And you're right, I think 8 points with the goal difference that Celtic's got, I don't see anybody clawing that back, because I keep going back to when I watch Celtic at Celtic Park and domestic football. They're miles ahead of everybody at Celtic Park. Miles. I've never sat once and looked and thought, well, this could be the weekend that someone can come here and get a result. Never looked at that this season yet. So I can't see Rangers clawing the points and the goals back. I think it's done as well.
Roger, Grant talks about the winter break has almost been a negative turning point for Rangers, and I wonder if how much, you know, momentum comes into play. See, when Rangers got that result against Celtic, they would have been desperate for a game the following week.
And they had to wait 5 weeks for another league game. Yeah, listen, it's a valid point. I think the winter.
By the way,
that's
no excuse. I mean, every team has to deal with the winter break, but I'm just saying it's interesting to look back on it.
But when you look back at it, I think the winter break, but by Celtic's own admission, came at a good time for them. They had a few injuries. They were needing to reinforce the squad. By the time they came to Ibrox for that game, they looked dead in their feet. They were battered. It was their worst performance of the season. And Brendan Rodgers would have delighted to have taken a month off, got them to Dubai, get some fresh energy in the legs. Whereas Rangers had just produced their best performance of the season. They were absolutely flying. And rather than getting another game in 3 or 4 days' time or a week's time, had to wait 5 weeks. And the signings that were made in that 5 weeks were thrown in, and they didn't really enhance the team, and they've never quite reached that level again. In fact, they've got nowhere near that level again. So the point you're making, Gordon, is very valid.
You want to come back in on that one, Grant?
Aye, absolutely. I mean, I'm not knocking the winter break at all. I think all round it's good. Although typically in Scotland we don't usually get a bad winter until the March April time. But I think, as I say there, I feel as if it has went against us a bit, not to play the victim or anything, but I think, even after the Aberdeen result, I sat and watched it, and even when they got their penalty to pull it back to 3-2, and I thought, you know, we're doing all right here, we're holding out, Aberdeen aren't having too much of a threat, and we obviously got the 3 points, but I just feel as if what Rangers have, resources and whatever else, not to say that they're not, they should win every game of football without doing anything. I just think home games should by and large take care of themselves in the Scottish Premiership.
How are you feeling about tomorrow night then?
Do you know, I can't stress enough how big this game is tomorrow. I really cannot stress it enough, because I feel after Saturday and then obviously with this cup replay coming tomorrow night, it's huge in the season. Not for Stephen Gerrard's job, because I love the guy, but and I think, as I say, the improvement is there. I just feel as if a trophy would sort of back that up, especially with the league being there for the taking. I feel the inconsistencies throughout the whole division, obviously Celtic included, and the emergence of Aberdeen and the Kilmarnock especially. I just feel tomorrow night is huge. At least it will be played on proper grass.
That is very true. It will be played on grass. We won't argue about that. We argue about everything else. Thank you to Grant, who's a Rangers fan from Cumbernauld. Right, on this teaser, it's heating up a bit on Twitter. People are getting closer. Now, Neil McFadden says Yusuf Malumbu. Neil, well done, but you remember, you've forgotten the wee footnote. It doesn't include players currently in Scotland at the moment, so it's former players. Stephen Lamont has thrown in James McCarthy. Roberto Martinez signed him at Everton. It wasn't David Moyes. So the playing under a Scot.
What about Simo Vallecari?
Nope.
I have not got a scoop.
Robert Earnshaw.
Yes.
Oh, Roger.
Robert Earnshaw played under
Billy Davis,
your old pal at Derby. And he played for up here
Morton.
Back in 2000.
What I did think about Simon Churchill, lad, was at Aberdeen.
Nope.
What a shout, Earnshaw.
I would like to give some praise to an unlucky, by the way. Paul McAnally is a couple of years out on Tamuri Kitzbaya, because he didn't play in English Premier League after 2000. The man of the moment is Fraser Wilson on Twitter. You are the first tweeter, Fraser,
oh, well done, Fraser,
to get one of the answers right. These two don't have it. We'll see if they get it next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger and Gordon are here and they are racking their brains like never before on tonight's full-time teaser. One of the toughest questions we've ever had. We're looking for seven players who are not Scottish but have more than 30 international caps, have played under a Scottish manager in the English Premier League since 2000, and have played in Scotland for a non-Old Firm team since 2000 also. Those currently playing in Scotland don't count, so you don't have to worry about the Kyle Lafferty's or Yusuf Malumbu's of the world. Now, before the break, the guys only had two. They had Eric Jemba-Jemba, they had Robert Earnshaw. I told you only one tweeter had a correct answer. Donny Wilson has just thrown in another one that you're still looking for. Have you got any during the break?
Yeah, go on, Roger. Take it away.
Wes Houlihan.
Wes Houlihan played under?
Played under Paul Lambert.
And?
At Livy. And then played down south under Paul Lambert
and Alex Neil. Yeah, Wes Houlihan, Robert Earnshaw, Eric Jemba-Jemba, Gordon DL.
Mo Kamara.
That's an outstanding shout from you.
I don't know, I can't remember who he played with.
St Mirren.
Yeah, and I mean,
I know the other reason you know that is because it was also under your pal Billy Davis at Derby. So there we go. Mo Kamara, Eric Jemba-Jemba, Robert Earnshaw, Wes Houlihan. We're getting somewhere now. Sort of. Three to get.
Tough.
Think goalkeepers. I'm going to think out loud, right?
Uh-huh.
You want to think about some goalkeepers.
Uh-huh.
One was certainly a big name up here, and one you will not get for love nor money. There is no chance I can see you getting this last one. Absolutely none.
Well, that says a lot.
But two of them are doable. One is murder, as they say. Right, Ian's a Partick Thistle fan in Bears Den. Hi, Ian.
Even gentlemen.
Hi, Ian.
I just heard a Thistle fan on there earlier talking about, you think of any chance of reaching the playoffs? I don't know what he's been drinking tonight, I'll be honest with you. Thistle play Ross County the weekend. If they lose that, it's conceivable that Alan and Falkirk pick up points. Thistle could end up bottom again. They've also got the United coming up as well shortly. So I think until we play Ross County and the United, if you can beat them, then you would maybe think you've got an outside chance. But really, I don't know what the guy's thinking about. We've had a couple of good results, to be fair. Got myself off the bottom of the league, but we're only 2 points off it. So to think about getting into the playoffs and trying to get back up again, I think he's like floating on a different planet.
Roger.
I think they've left themselves too much to do. I think if they can get away from the relegation zone, and bearing in mind that win at the weekend at Allo only took them out of the bottom two by a point. Coming the weekend, they could quite easily be back in the bottom two if they were to lose to Ross County. They look better than they did. As I say, I've seen them three times in the last 5 weeks, and they're gradually improving. The signings have done well. They've stopped leaking goals with Anderson there. Young Conor Hazard on loan from Celtic looks a decent goalkeeper as well. Banningen in the middle of the park is getting fitter with each passing week, and the addition of McDonald will give them more of a cutting edge up top, where they were really, for me, far too reliant for far too long on Chris Doolan. So they're getting better. I just think it's a type of league where, you know, teams take points off each other each week. I just think Thistle have left themselves too much to do. They would need to go on an even longer run of wins and hope that a number of teams above them drop points.
Ian, you want to come back in?
I don't think we'll get any chance of reaching the playoffs. I'll be glad if we stay up. At the start of the season, I was hopeful of making the playoffs, but the way things have transpired, it's just not happened. And I think we just took too long to get things going. I mean, there's about 10, 11 games. They had got less points than Arsenal. They've gotten the same number of games. So, okay, they've picked up a bit now, and I'll give credit where credit's due. Some of the signings have looked good. But I think we're a long way off challenging for playoffs.
Who do you think is going to win that division, Ian? Having seen all the teams, and I think Dundee United in particular have strengthened a huge amount during January, who do you think is going to go on and win it?
At the start of the season, I said Ross County. But with the amount of money Dundee United have been thrown at that team, and they've totally rebuilt it.
You were nodding away, Gordon Dale.
Yeah, because I watched St Mirren Dundee United in the Cup a few weeks ago, Gordon, and they've signed, they brought in something like 11 players in January, and it's good quality, and they have, they've spent a lot of money. They really have in wages and stuff like that, and they've got good backup in the bench as well. I think Dundee United will be my tip to just get there.
Any more on this teaser? Someone threw in players who'd played under Owen Coyle. That is not something you need to consider. Well, we always do football nationality on these questions, don't we? So Owen Coyle's not one.
I always like your clues. Goalies. Antti Niemi.
Show me you're working.
Well, he was at Hearts as well as Rangers.
Uh-huh.
He went down south. Did he not play in an FA Cup final under Gordon Strachan for Southampton?
He did. Well done.
Yes.
Antti Niemi. Which means you've got one to get, two to get. One is doable. One we could be here until midnight. I promise you.
Is one of them a goalie?
Yes.
The one I thought was Michael McGovern.
No. I thought you were going to ram those words down my throat there. It's not Michael McGovern, but I have given you a clue that it was a goalie, so that might help. Mike is in shots. What's your point tonight, Mike?
Hi, it's just a little bit off topic right now from Scottish football.
I'm always happy with that, don't worry.
What the panel kind of thought about the fine that Leeds United have had, £200,000 for the Spygate thing. I think it's probably a little bit harsh because there isn't any rules set out just now. Certainly not in England. I don't know if there's any in Scotland, whereby they can't do that. There's nothing in the rules that say they can't go and have a look or cross fences or whatever the case may be. It's maybe not the done thing, but there is no rules, and I'm just wondering how you guys think about the £200,000 fine.
See, that's what I love about this show, because sometimes there are certain stories which we just are interested. Spygate has been magnificent, Roger. What a story it was. What do you make of Mike's question?
I think Mike's absolutely right. I'm astonished that they managed to make this fine stick to Leeds United, because Leeds did nothing wrong. There is a rule now in place which Leeds have agreed to and agreed to support, but there was no rule in place at the time down south that blocked them from doing this. I think they're very fortunate that Leeds have held their hands up and that Leeds have agreed that morally it was the wrong thing to do, and that Leeds are going to swallow this fine, because I think if Leeds hadn't been on side with them and had challenged it legally, there's absolutely no way they could make this fine stick.
Yeah, I like the fact that he's been out of his way to try and get every bit of advantage.
I knew you would. I've seen you in the golf course, yeah, so it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I just think that in the modern day football as well, trying to get that bit of advantage, especially in that championship, the prize at the end of it to get into the English Premier League.
So it's not morally wrong? It's not against the spirit of the game?
Not for me, Gordon. I applaud the lad, because I'll guarantee you that it goes on most places. People will try and get an advantage. People will try and speak to someone in the club to see what formation their team's playing
and
on.
Does that make it right?
Yeah, it doesn't make it wrong, does it? It's not like... and plus, if you're going to be that, you know, sensible about it, and there's people standing over in the trees, then get your fencing a bit higher. Get it sorted out. But I like the fact that the guy went an extra mile just to get that little bit of advantage. And okay, yes, you can see the shape of your team. You'll probably know that anyway, because you'll have done your homework a million times, right? But you've still got to beat them on the night, Gordon. You've still got to go out and get that result. But I'm going down the line. I don't care what MDC, I quite like that.
Okay, Mike in shots, hopefully that answers your question. We don't have a great deal of time left to dwell on it. Thanks for the call. That'll be the last one for tonight. But 01419511025, take it down, give us a call tomorrow and let us know what is on your mind. Now, as for tonight, we've got some work left to do on this teaser. It is an absolute belter. Fulltime@clyde1.com. Send your answer, your questions in to us tonight. 7 players, not Scottish, but have more than 30 international caps, have played under a Scottish manager in the English Premier League since 2000, have played in Scotland for an Arnold Firm team since 2000. You've already got Mo Kamara, Eric Jemba Jemba, Robert Earnshaw, Wes Houlihan, Antti Niemi. Two to get.
Struggling, Roger. You're sitting there with your eyes closed. Any chance?
That's his thinking face. Thinking face, I said. Thinking.
What about the Motherwell goalie, Gunnar Nielsen? Faroes guy.
Nope.
Can you give us a clue of the teams?
Now, this guy also did play for an Old Firm team.
All right.
Prior to this. And the non-Old Firm team he played for up here was Partick Thistle.
Is this a goalkeeper?
No. This is the so-called easy one.
So he played for an Old Firm team
in the 90s.
In the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Then went to Thistle.
Towards the end of his career, Thistle in the 2000s.
Thistle in the 2000s.
In between times, played for a Scot in the English Premier League at a club which is nowhere near the English Premier League anymore.
No.
The English club he played for? Bradford.
Bradford with Jim Jeffries.
Yep.
Played with an Old Firm team, played with Thistle. Juanjo.
Nope. The Old Firm team was Celtic. I mean, high profile Celtic player, no doubt about it. Mid-90s, mid to...
Wait for Bradford.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, go for it.
He's Portuguese. Had long curly hair.
George Cadet.
George Cadet. And the one that you'll never get, played this season in our top flight for Hamilton Accies. This is, I mean, honestly, this is not even worth wasting time over. It's so hard.
Go there.
One of the goalies. How many goalies have Hamilton used this
season?
Jan
Mucha.
Jan Mucha.
I've never heard
that. I told you, I knew you wouldn't. Thank you, Roger, Hannah and Gordon DL. Thank you for all your calls and tweets. We are back tomorrow. Another big night for Scottish football between Rangers and Kilmarnock. We're building up to Celtic and Valencia as well. So do join us. Callum Gallagher is up next. Stay where you are.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.